Some of y'all sound like those weeks like mine. Everybody at my house has been sick at some point in time. Fun stuff, right? Leslie was sick Tuesday, so I got to take off work and take care of babies, and everybody finally seems to be right again, so that's a good thing. So I know that stuff's going around right now, and hopefully it won't interfere with your holiday stuff. Try to get all that out of your system before that comes. This morning we're going to kind of keep going through our spokesmans, and we should finish it up either this week or the 18th, I think, is the next time we'll be doing. Next week, don't forget, we're going to have our special service next week. So we're going to have, it'll be a little bit different. We're going to have a singing on Sunday school. Amen. We're going to do that for Sunday morning or Sunday school time. We'll have my mom and my sister will be here, and we'll sing. And we'll do that during the Sunday school hour. We'll probably sing a few during the morning service. And then my dad will be preaching the morning service next week. And I'm sure that you will enjoy that. So I'm looking forward to them being able to come down here. And my dad's been wanting to come down here and see the church and meet all y'all. So I know he'll be excited about that. So what's that? And we eat. That's the best part. That's way better than my dad's preaching, I can guarantee that. My singing, maybe not so much, but the preaching, definitely. No, I am looking forward to it. I am looking forward to them being down here. The spokesman, we're going to get into the book of Acts is where we're going to start off. As recorded in the Gospels and in the books of Acts, Peter serves as the main spokesman immediately after the departure of the Lord in Acts chapter 1. During this time period, an individual desiring to know the will of God would have listened to the words of Peter and the other apostles. Peter remains the main spokesman until Acts chapter 12. Peter appears as a speaker only one more time in the book of Acts. That's found in Acts 15, verse 7. Acts 15 and verse 7. It says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." He is speaking concerning the Gentiles. There he simply affirms the ministry given to Paul. Acts 2:14 is a typical verse reflecting Peter's position as spokesman in the early part of Acts. Acts 2:14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Peter remains the spokesman until shortly after the conversion of the Apostle Paul from Acts 13 forward. Paul becomes the main character and spokesman. God gives his complete revelation to Paul, and he travels around the world testifying the message God had given him for individuals living in the church age. The next 13 books of the Bible written by the Apostle Paul are the books that predominantly cover this period called the church age. So that's Acts. Acts is a transitional book. Everybody knows that, right? It's a transition from the apostles and the gospel that they preached into the gospel that God gave Paul himself. Now you got to kind of understand that, okay? Peter and Paul did not preach the same gospel, okay? There's a lot of people that get that messed up, and it will really, really, really mess you up if you start studying the Word of God. Because you're going to want to make Peter preach the same gospel that Paul preached, and he didn't. He had a different set of people that he went to. You remember the Bible says, he says, go to the Jew first and also to the Greek, right? You see, Peter couldn't get over that. You'll find out later on, we're going to get to it, that Peter got rebuked by Paul because of that. Because Peter could not let it go. He wanted those Jews to be more important than the Gentiles. But yet we know in this dispensation that we live in now, in the church age, the Jews are not any more important than we are. We're all the same. We're all saved the same. We all have to read the same Bible. We all have to study the same word. We have to get the same thing. We're all in the same dispensation right now. Now it's going to change. It's going to go back to the Jews. And that's understandable. And that's where you're going to get kind of confused if you start not if you don't really rightly divide the word of truth, if you just kind of do it a little bit, you'll get messed up because you're going to end up going into 1st and 2nd Peter, and you're going to sit there and go, well, he's preaching the same thing Paul was preaching. Not really. Not really. He was holding on to those works. You know, Peter's the one in Acts that says that you had to be baptized and have remission of sins. Why did he have to do that? Because he had to make a work in that salvation, right? Paul didn't preach a baptism salvation. He never said anything about that. Paul never said one thing about a works-based salvation. I don't care what the people try to tell you, because they'll say that they preach the same gospel, but they don't. They don't preach the same gospel. I follow this thing on Facebook, and we get into it all the time, and that's one of the main hang-ups, that they want Peter to preach the same gospel Paul preached. Think about this. You had the apostles. They had their own doctrine and their own gospel, right? We know that. We've already studied that. We already looked at that. So you had the apostles that had their own set over here. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all those things that we've already been through. But now you've gotten over here to Paul. Paul is given this gospel directly from God himself, right? He didn't give that to Peter. He gave it to Paul. Whatever Peter learned, he learned it from Paul. Have you ever thought about that? The gospel that you are saved by was given directly to Paul. That's why you have to follow what he says. That's why he is the apostle to the Gentiles. That's why he says you have to consider what I say and you'll gain understanding in all things. That's the reason why when we went through that whole deal a few months back about reading and studying the Word of God, what was one of the things that I told you you needed to do? Can anybody remember anything I told you to do during that study? No, y'all lost it. Okay. What's that? Who's he talking to? That was definitely one of them. I said, yeah, make sure when you're reading it, figure out who's talking to who in that dispensation. The other thing I told you to do is when you started reading it, I told you to start in Romans and go through Philemon, right? Now, why would I want you to go from Romans to Philemon? Because that's where you're going to get your doctrine mostly from, is Romans through Philemon. Not all of your doctrine comes from Romans through Philemon. You understood that, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, okay? You can get doctrine from other parts of the Bible. But predominantly in this dispensation, in the church age that we live in, you have to get it from Paul, which is Romans through Philemon. If anybody ever asks me, especially if they're a new Christian, if anybody ever walks up to me and says, hey, where do I need to start to study the Word of God, to learn more about the Word of God? I am going to tell them to read Romans through Philemon until it absolutely makes them sick. When you think you've exhausted it, read it one more time, and then you can go from that point. There's a reason. If you want to understand what the Word of God's saying, you have to understand what's said to you first. That's the only way you're going to get it. I truly believe if you'll put a little bit of effort into learning what Paul says in Romans through Philemon, then I just believe what the Word of God says, and it says it'll give you understanding in all things. Some people don't really take that literally. I take it literally. I take the whole Word of God literally. Whatever it says is whatever I go with. If it says it's right, it's right. If it says it's wrong, it's wrong. So if it says, hey, consider what I say and gain understanding in all things, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to consider what he says, and then I figure somewhere down the road, God's going to give me understanding about the things that I can't quite comprehend yet. God's going to open those things up for me. So that's Acts. Acts is a transitional book, and you could go exhaust into studies and all these things, and I've told you that before. You could jump off in certain little aspects of all these studies and you could just sit there for a long period of time. But I'm trying to just give you the overview of what I'm talking about. So there's some things I kind of just throw at you because I still think you need to study for yourself. So that's why I do those things, and I hope I've made that clear over the past few weeks that we've done all this. Spokesman's during the church age. The only period not discussed in detail thus far covers a period of time after the cross up to the rapture of the church, the period in which we live today. By determining who our spokesman is, we will know where in the Bible to find our primary instructions for living today. Our chief spokesman is the Apostle Paul. We are first introduced to Paul, who was known as Saul, at the end of Acts chapter 7. And we read about his conversion two chapters later. Sometimes I write stuff that don't make sense. Amen. As previously demonstrated, Peter was God's main spokesman until the time of Paul's conversion. Shortly thereafter, Peter virtually disappears from the scene. One of the few times Peter reappears is found in Galatians 2 and verse 11. Turn to Galatians 2 and verse 11. I really want you to see this one right here, because this is going to kind of make what I said a minute ago make a whole lot more sense. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Paul rebukes him for his hypocrisy concerning the Gentiles. You see that in Galatians? So you can understand, when Paul tells you this in Galatians, you can understand completely that Peter had a problem with this situation. He had a big problem with the situation. And I've always thought it was kind of a little bit funny, because, you know, the apostles, they followed, man. They sat there and they followed God, and they followed God. They tried to do the right thing, and we know that some of them were not all there. Amen. Yeah, that one was a devil, right? Hey. But they tried to follow and do the things of God, and then he died, and when they died, it was kind of like, because they didn't understand it. Even though God had told them what was going to happen, they didn't understand it. So then when he comes back on the scene, Jesus Christ has rose from the dead, they see him again, and they're starting to preach again, right? You see the apostles, they start to preach again. You got Peter especially, he's preaching. He's doing all these things, he's trying to do right. But guess what? You got this problem with Peter, because Peter still wanted that kingdom to be set up. Now the transition in Acts comes right here. Think about this. Paul is known as Saul, right? Where do you first see him? Stephen's stoning. The first time you get to talk about Paul, the first time you ever see him, as at the stoning of Stephen. Now, what do we know about that? One, Stephen was a man's man right there. He, in fact, used the same terminology that God did. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? I thought that was pretty honorable of him. It's pretty good. You could preach a long time right there, but I'm not going to. I wanted to preach since 1 o'clock this morning. I got a sermon this morning, and if God would have just let me preach it during Sunday school, I'd have preached it in Sunday school. I wanted to preach it so bad. But I knew I needed to do Sunday school first. But you got Paul there, and he's at the stoning of Stephen, and you understand this right here. Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of the Father, right? He's not sitting. He's standing at the right hand of the Father. When he looks up into the clouds and sees him, what does that mean? It means he's ready to come back. God was going to give him one more shot. That's why Peter and Paul didn't preach the same gospel. Because he wasn't quite done with the Jews. He was giving them one more shot to get it right. He said, "I turned you into jealousy. I took a people that weren't a people. I died for them." Okay? I died for them. But he gave them one more shot to get it right. Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of the Father, ready to come back. Stephen says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Sits back down. Then what happens? Paul gets saved. Paul gets a different gospel. Here we are. That makes sense, right? Now there's a whole lot wrapped up in all that, okay? There's a whole lot wrapped up in there. I'm just trying to give you where the difference is in the spokesman, so you don't get carried away. You're running over here because Peter said this, and Peter said that, and James said this, and James said that, okay? That's what I don't want you to do. Even if you think Paul wrote Hebrews, I don't want you to go there either. I want you to understand that when you get past Philemon, it goes into a tribulational period of time that he's talking about. It is different. It is not the same gospel. It's completely different. You've got to study this stuff. You've got to understand what is going on in the Word of God. It's not because we're trying to take the Word of God from you. It's because we're trying to give you the Word of God so that you can understand it better than you've ever understood it before. You see, the Word of God can be opened up with dispensational teaching. It can. I can preach anything I want to in the Word of God. One of my Bible school teachers, I was listening to him this week. I was listening to him a sermon he was preaching from 1971. He's preaching it. And he was talking about dispensations, and he was talking about how he preached dispensationally. I preach dispensationally. Okay? Now, in Sunday school, I get real in-depth about it, and I talk about it a lot, and I use certain terminologies. When I just preach on Sunday morning, you notice I don't really use the terminology quite the same way. Why do I do that? Because a lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people don't understand it. When you come to Sunday school, you're coming to learn about the Word of God, right? When you come to church, you're coming to preach, right? It's a different thing. But I preach it the same way. Why? I can take the whole Word of God. The whole counsel is what I'm called to preach. Every last bit of it I can preach. And I can preach it dispensationally. That is amazing. Because I can know exactly what things mean when I put them in there. I don't have to take anything out of context to try to make it fit. When I give you the gospel, I know what gospel it is and I know who it pertains to. I know exactly which gospel to give you so that you don't have to worry about being confused when I give it to you. You see, every other church out here has a problem with that. Why? Because they just take anything they find in the Bible and they want to run with it, right? That's why you have people speaking in tongues. Amen? That's why you people have people that believe in being elect. Amen? Because they take things out of context in the Word of God because they don't put them in where they belong dispensationally. There's a big difference. You have to understand it. You have to grasp it. You have to understand that not everybody is talking to you. Not everybody's doing that. They had a specific spot and a time that they were preaching to. You have a specific person to listen to. It's kind of like, it's kind of like school. It's kind of like school. If I'm in ninth grade, I have to listen and learn what they're teaching in ninth grade, right? I can't go get something out of 12th grade. I ain't been there yet. It ain't going to do me any good to go to 12th grade and learn what they're learning if I hadn't learned what they're supposed to learn in ninth grade. It isn't going to do me any good. It's the same way. If you sit here and say, Paul's my apostle, well, then you probably understand what he says. Don't go to Peter. Don't go over to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Learn what he's got to say first, then go over there. You hadn't got what he said first. You've got to take the steps. It's not because it's easy to just get the Word of God, open it up, and go find you something to talk about. It's very easy to do that. That's why I've said before, and I'd probably say it again, a lot of preachers preach things because it's easy to preach. You can just pick you a topic and you can just hammer it down. And you can make it fit however you want to. Man, you can sit there and say some pretty stuff. You can get over an Old Testament, just have yourself a time. And you know me, I preached out of the Old Testament, haven't I? There's application for all of that stuff. There's typologies in the Word of God. Do I ever take it out of context? No. I do my dead level best to not take it out of context. Have I taken it out of context? Yeah. When I first started preaching, whoo, I was like, man, that's a good topic. You go off preaching it, and about midway through your sermon, you're thinking, boy, I really messed that up. Why? Because they weren't saved the same way. The typology may be there. You may be able to see some resemblance of things, but they still ain't preaching the same gospel. They never will. You're never going to make that work. People are saved different ways in different dispensations. Beginning in Acts chapter 13, we read about Paul's missionary journeys. In the last chapter of the book of Acts, we read about Paul's placement in a Roman prison. When we turn the page to the next book in the Bible, Romans, the first word reveals much. Paul, his name is recorded at the first as the first word in the next 13 consecutive books, Romans through Philemon. God emphasizes the author in each of these 13 books to show us the importance of our knowing exactly who penned each epistle. He also established these books as a unit to be studied together. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the place where we find the bulk of church doctrine. Notice I did not say all church doctrine. I want to clarify that as much as possible. Because somebody will walk away and say, "He thinks you can only get doctrine out of Romans through Philemon." No, you can get doctrine from multiple places in the Word of God, but you have to understand, is it your doctrine or is it somebody else's doctrine? You have to make it line up with what Paul preached. If it lines up with what Paul preached, it's good for your doctrine. If it doesn't, I wouldn't use it for your doctrine. Simple enough? These 13 books address a specific group, the body of Christ, during a specific period of time, which is the church age. God's use of Paul as the messenger of today's perils. I write stuff wrong a lot. If y'all knew what was going on up here, it would just blow your mind. God's use of Paul as the messenger relates back to his use of Noah to speak to those individuals alive before the flood. That's what I meant to say. God's use of Paul also relates to his future use of the two witnesses speaking during the tribulation and the Lord Jesus Christ speaking during the millennium. Throughout history, God's message has generally been conveyed in the same manner. God gives us many scriptures expressing Paul's unique ministry to the church. And I'm going to break down seven of these things, and they all are. This one starts in Romans. So, one, we have the Apostle Paul's writings minister to the Lord Jesus, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and his gospel to the Gentile world, so that we may be acceptable and sanctified. Turn to Romans 15:16. Romans 15:16. These are just seven things that are kind of solidifying what Paul was doing in his preaching and his teaching. Romans 15:16, the Bible says, "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Two, in order to obey the following command, one must consider whose authority, 1 Corinthians and following the writings of this author. God led the Apostle Paul to write 1 Corinthians, thus we are to follow him as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." He's telling you, hey, you have to follow me. You have to consider what I say so that you can get understanding in all things. So you have to follow Paul. Later in the same epistle, the Apostle Paul informs us that he is the one who declares the gospel to us. He also defines the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, pretty much everybody knows those scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand." We see here that Paul got the gospel from God himself, okay? He's the one preaching this gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul declares the gospel and also instructs us how to live as Christians. He instructs us to do those things we have learned, received, heard, and seen in him. Without considering the scriptures that Paul has penned, how can the church age saint obey his command? Philippians 4 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He's still telling you, hey, you have to understand what I'm saying. You have to follow Paul. If you want to be able to do these things, if you want to be able to be a good Christian, we're all about that, right? Everybody talks about you got to be a good Christian, right? How do you be a good Christian? You be Christ-like, right? You got to be as close to Christ as possible to be a good Christian. Well, how do you know how to do it? And that's where everybody doesn't know what to do with it. How do you know how to be a good Christian? Follow His Word. Who do you follow? I've been talking about it for like the past four things right here. You follow Paul. Why? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. If you saw Paul do it, guess what? Do it. If Paul did it, you're probably going to be okay. You ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about just reading through and seeing things that Paul's done in his life? How Paul lived his life? How Paul conducted himself in his daily manner? Have you ever thought, if I just did those things, man, I'd probably be a pretty good Christian. You see, if you focus where you're supposed to focus, you'll be what God wants you to be. That's why He gave you the spokesman that He gave you. Why? Because we live in an age of grace, right? We live in the church age. We live where we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. That's your commission, right? We've already been through all of that. That's your job. Your number one job is to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. If that's the case, you've got to know where to find all this. Where do you find it? Do what Paul says. Consider what he says. If you do those things, guess what? You're going to be a good Christian. You're going to be a good Christian. And Paul understood it. You see, that's the difference in a lot of things too. You got to understand. Paul sits there and says, hey, I die daily to the flesh. You know what you do? You die daily to the flesh. You see, he understood what you go through. Why? Because he's just like you. He's just like you. You know, I think it's cool that Paul never really got caught up like Peter. Peter was so concerned with those Jews, like he just couldn't get over it. Paul was a Jew too, right? You understand that, right? But yet, the majority of his preaching was to Gentiles. What they thought was filthy. They considered them dogs. You think that may have been why Peter had such a hang up with it? Make kind of sense, don't it? He wanted to be special, right? He wanted those Jews to still be something. And I'm all for Israel, okay? I don't want you to misunderstand anything I'm saying. I'm all for Israel. That's God's chosen people. But I do understand things that are going to happen. Do you know that they're going to get ran out of that land again, right? You do understand that. That has to happen. They have to get ran out so that they can come back. Yeah. Read it for yourself. It's okay. I know y'all are half asleep like I am. I understand. Paul's particular position as the primary spokesman of the church age also included a calling to serve as the example for the church age Christian. For this reason, Paul tells us that we receive from him instruction concerning how we should walk and please God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1 says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The reader should readily recognize how important Paul's writings are to the church. He beseeches us to be followers of him. He declares the gospel of the grace of God. He even tells us how to walk so that we may please God. It should come as no surprise when Paul tells those who want to understand all things to consider what he says. That is found in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7. I think that is a great verse for every Christian to know. If you believe you are saved by the grace of God, you need to know 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7. It says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." In order to understand all things, we must consider what the Apostle Paul has said through his writings. Obviously, this understanding of all things includes gaining an understanding of the Bible too. Do you want to understand the difference associated with the various instructions given in the Scriptures, sometimes referred to as contradictions? If you have contradictions in the Bible, you've heard that, right? There's contradictions in the Word of God. I've heard that a lot, that there's contradictions in the Word of God. Following different pages on Facebook and doing certain things and preaching, you get that a lot. Especially when you say you're a dispensationalist. If you ever tell anybody, "Hey, I believe dispensational thinking," there's a lot of things that go along with that. One is how dispensational are you? That's the first thing they're going to try to figure out. Where do you draw the line? That's going to put you in a couple of different categories. One is, are you a hyper-dispensationalist? I had a guy tell me last night I was a hyper-dispensationalist. I did. Because I didn't agree with his point of view on the tribulation. So I was a hyper-dispensationalist. That's cool. You can think that if you want to. I'm not one, but you can think that. So my next question was, what makes me a hyper-dispensationalist? To which he could not give me an answer. What makes me a hyper-dispensationalist? Because I don't agree with your point of view? You know what a hyper-dispensationalist is, right? A hyper-dispensationalist says that you can only take Romans through Philemon and the rest of it does not apply to you at all. Now, I've been preaching here for almost 11 months. Have you ever, ever heard me say that all that Scripture is not through you? Have you ever heard me say one time in any kind of sermon or any kind of teaching that all you need to take is Romans 3, Philemon, and track the rest of it? Not one time, right? I've been preaching for a couple of years now, about 6, 7, something, a lot longer than what I thought. Never preached a sermon like that. Why? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable. I still believe what it says. I believe it's profitable. I believe you can use it. I believe you ought to use it. I believe you ought to study it. But I do believe you ought to put it in its place. Considering what Paul says, any instructions that seem to contradict his writings apply to a group other than the church. This would include, among other things, such issues as the observance of the Sabbath day, the eating of certain meats and sacrificial systems. Paul even claims that by him the preaching is fully known so that the Gentiles might hear God's instruction to them. You find that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." So you have Paul sitting here telling you, if you want to understand the contradictions in the Word of God, which I believe there is no contradictions in the Word of God, we make contradictions in the Word of God. Amen. We as good Christian Bible-believing people, we make the contradictions. There is no contradictions in the Word of God. God knew exactly what He was saying and knew exactly how to say it and knew exactly where to put it. God did that. There is no contradictions in this book. It's infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's inspired. That's why I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. Because I believe it fully. Whatever it says, I'm going with it. I'm going with it. So you have all these contradictions that people will bring up. Much of the confusion within Christianity can be cleared up through systematic Bible study. Simply, you should recognize that Peter ministered primarily to the Jews while Paul's ministry was primarily to the Gentiles, specifically to those of us living in the church age. This truth should make a difference in how you walk, talk, and think. We must determine the period in which we live and the corresponding God-designated spokesman for our present age. The books written by the Apostle Paul, those bearing his name as the first word, and I still say it's got a salutation in there, amen. When I wrote this thing down, I didn't put that in there, but it's got to have a salutation in it. And that's it has to be there, okay? It says it in there that he has a salutation in every book. Are the primary books covering this period of time? All of the Scripture is profitable. You find that in 2 Timothy 3:16, but must be studied in light of what our Apostle Paul has been led to reveal to us. Now, we're going to stop right there this morning, and we'll finish the rest of it probably on the 18th. I want you to understand that when you study the Word of God, to start with Paul and go from that point. If you really want to get understanding and you really want to learn something from the Word of God, just start with Paul. Pretty much everybody knows he's the apostle. I don't know where the breakdown ever happened. I know it happened a long, long time ago, okay? But I don't know where people kind of ran with it and decided they could just take whatever they wanted to, and they started taking things out of context, and things just got so messed up in church, because they did. Things got really messed up. That's why you have 50 different flavors. And none of them say the same thing. That's what gets me. I mean, nowadays you have Baptist churches that don't even preach the same thing. They all have a different doctrine. They all have a different way of thinking. They all have a different way of preaching. Now, I don't agree with everybody. I'm not saying you should go find you a bunch of people you should agree with. We may not even agree on certain things. But you ought to get pretty close to it somewhere. I feel like when you study the Word of God, you start learning something out of the Word of God, you start putting things where they belong, rightly dividing the Word of Truth according to 2 Timothy 2:15, I feel like you'll get somewhere close to somebody. You may have your little differences, but those little differences are not the big topics. There are certain things that you should kind of have. There are certain things that should just fit. And when you find those kind of people, those are the kind of people you need to hold on to. I will tell you this, there's very few of those. My kids are acting up. You'll find very few of those people in life that you can just really say, man, I agree with them. But when you find them, hold on to them, because they're good people. They believe the Word of God. They'll help you grow in the Word of God. You can actually kind of bounce stuff off of people that way. Preachers end up in that world where we don't have anybody really talk to. We're supposed to just do all the talking. It's nice to have some people that you can actually sit down and say, hey, what do you think about this? It's nice to have those people because they can kind of give you a different perspective on things. I'm all about getting different perspectives. I do a lot of my study goes by figuring out what the other person believes. I don't know why. That's just the way I do it. If I want to know what Calvinism thinks, I'm going to study Calvinism. I don't recommend that for everybody. If you're sound in what you believe and know why you believe it, jump. But if you don't, then you need to stay away from some stuff. You need to stay away from some stuff. Because you start studying through the Word of God and you'll sit there and you'll make contradictions all of a sudden. But I know that if I go back to Paul and it don't fit with him, it probably don't fit. I know that I can't make speaking in tongues fit. And Paul talked about it. But he also said that it was signs and wonders, right? Who do they belong to? Jews? And I are not one of them. I'm all Gentile. So you got to understand what the Word of God's talking to, who it's speaking to. So we'll finish that up probably the 18th. Like I said, next week will be different. You won't have to hear me do Sunday school, amen. You just get to hear me sing. And I expect y'all to learn how to clap between now and next Sunday. It's like this. Just like that. Okay, it won't hurt your hands at all. I hear you. I'm gonna break that before it's all over with. Somehow or another, I'm going to break it. If I got to come out there and clap your hands for you, we're going to break all that. Y'all got to loosen up just a little bit. Just because it's independent don't mean we got to be like every other independent. Amen. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Tim, close us out, please.